I mean, had Andrew Jackson been a little bit later, you wouldn't have had the Civil War. He was a very tough person, but he had a big heart, and he was really angry that he saw what was happening with regard to the Civil War. He said, there's no reason for this.
No more trash talk!
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can't go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying.
Confederate monument exterminating. Yeah.
NOLA Trash Talk, episode 144. It is the brother Joshua.
And it's Steve McGZ.
Back once again a day late on this beautiful May 1st, 2017. Joshua was in New York City for the weekend.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Hey, big spender. Spend a little time with me. It was fantastic. And
did you bang?
I'm not. Get out of here. Jesus.
First question.
I was in New York City just because I have to get perspective of other cities.
There's where guys' minds lay. Did you bang? No. Okay.
And it was a nice, awesome, beautiful weather out there.
Oh, yeah. No, when New York is nice.
It was like their first nice weekend of the season.
All the crazies come out.
So the girls with the summer clothes were.
Oh, my God.
But I go out there with considering that, like, I'm trying to compare and contrast. Big major metropolis, biggest city in the world, compared to what we usually deal with down here. And on my way to see Steven to do tonight's episode, I was driving down River Road, and there's your camera car parked out there, 7:30 at night on the train tracks.
Dude, all day, every day?
Didn't get me, but she was like, really? 7 p.m. on a Monday.
They stay on Orleans, okay? Orleans between Claiborne and Carrollton. Okay?
Now, not a single one of these camera systems in effect in Manhattan, because I don't think you can get your car up over 12 miles per hour. The traffic in that town is ridiculous.
It's way worse ever since Trump became president.
All the places. I speak as a human being who's spent 3 years in Los Angeles. And
yeah, it's bad in
New
York.
If I'm leaving Manhattan and I see 9.2 miles to LaGuardia Airport to get out of there, that's an hour. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an hour. But happy to know all you New Orleans folks, if you want to think about your little town versus those big mean cities in America, those evil coastal war horses that are L.A. and New York. Construction everywhere in New York. Complete clusterfuck. Roads closed left and right. Things shut down. We were on Wall Street. Day drinking on Wall Street. $10 shots of Jameson.
Oh.
I know. Wall Street shut down. Chopping up entire blocks. Just, I felt like I was in the single block of the CBD that looks like a city. The one with, like, the security exchange centers on.
Yeah.
The only part of the CBD that looks like a real city. And you were just on that block in an infinite loop forever.
Yeah, that's Wall Street right there. But, plus the construction there, they're just constantly ripping up parts of the city. But, like, if you shut down one block in New York, that screws up a lot of shit.
There was stuff messed up everywhere to get to any of the tunnels.
Because they're all one ways,
getting in and out. Yeah. But I will say that I did my best as a representative of New Orleans to be the douchiest white guy in Brooklyn on a Saturday night.
Oh, were you staying in Brooklyn?
We did one evening in Brooklyn.
It's no longer.
We tallied it up. We did 12 different bars in two nights.
It's no longer Crooklyn.
I know it's not.
It's hipster Lynn.
I saw. Yeah, I know. It's beyond that. It's moved past that. Harlem is now that.
We had friends in high school because, we went to high school in Philly, right outside of Philly, and we would go home with them. And one time I went home with one of the guys I knew, and he lived right outside of Harlem. And he said, you do not leave this house without me. Like, I need to escort you everywhere. That same neighborhood is hipster nation.
I can tell you right now, because I was hanging out with people that are well-versed in New Orleans, that walking around at 4 in the morning in the neighborhoods we were in, you feel 1,000% completely safe. There are so many people out and about.
So many people.
Always. There is no hurricane dragging an unconscious woman off of Magazine Street. That's not happening.
Die Hard 3 reference. The same neighborhood that John McCain was walking around with the sign.
John McClane.
McClane, sorry. McCain. The same neighborhood that Bruce Willis was walking around in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, terrible neighborhood. That is, like, a metropolis now.
Dude, it's impressive. I will say I've lived in Chicago too. New York is I've been in New York before, but I had never like done like nightlife, just let's just screw around like drinking marathons in New York, and if you're an outsider and you've never thought of it before, like you can throw down hard. Shit stays open late and you can pretty much roll like it's New Orleans. Yeah. We were bouncing back and
New
forth.
New Orleans times
cabs
four.
Cabs and subways, different neighborhoods. We're in Times Square 1 minute at a bar. Boom, to another place, another minute, rooftop in Brooklyn. Just meeting people and wiling out.
But like, brutal.
It was fine. I wasn't killing. Other than like the $10 Jameson shots down on Wall Street.
Did you knew the people that you were with knew where to go?
Yeah, we were at Divey Irish pubs. We were at the cool little rooftop spots. We were just drinking like local beer mostly. Yeah. We weren't like doing double vodka sodas. I know. As Steven points to his double vodka soda on a Monday evening, I'm drinking coffee. Trying to come down. I got home last night and I tried to come down with a bottle of wine and see if I could ease into getting back into a normal schedule.
You had to come down with a bottle, huh?
I didn't just want to go.
Shakes McGillicuddy?
No, it wasn't that bad. I'm pretty well adjusted.
I had my shakes over the weekend.
Oh, great.
Oh, Jesus.
I leave. Well, anyway, we open with that Donald Trump quote. Just insanity with his perspective of Andrew Jackson, which he says he's a big fan of Andrew Jackson. I'd really like a lie detector test of whether or not he read American Lion, which is possibly the most awesome book about Andrew Jackson, and very, very informative. Other than like the pop facts about him, how he had a like knockdown, drag out, drunk parties on the lawn of the White House.
Am I out of my tree here, or was Andrew Jackson he was the sixth or eighth president?
Oh, dude,
probably. One of those two. Yeah, we'll look it up real quick.
Siri.
But why? I didn't listen to any.
I'm glad
Trump.
When you start talking Andrew Jackson onto Google, Andrew Jackson loads up one before Andrew Garfield. We have come so far as a society.
But you just said Andrew.
Andrew.
Oh, right. The seventh U.S. president. Oh,
seventh.
Nice.
Bang
so around. I was right between six and eight. So I want to know why.
I want to know
why he was being referenced to the Civil War when he was president.
Yes, the low-hanging fruit of the argument is that they're talking about the Civil War, Trump is, and this is a guy who died 15 years before the Civil War.
Right.
Into being an old, worthless, care for the elderly in 1845 wasn't at its optimum. It's recent enough in history that there is a daguerreotype or that old kind of photo. They have an old photo of, like, Andrew Jackson, you know, no teeth.
Right.
Really, 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 really old. But, yeah, 15 years before the Civil War, I don't know how much context he would have had of the nation heading towards an impending
I knew his nickname
disaster.
Was Old Hickory, but I didn't know it was King Mob.
King Mob, the hero of New Orleans, Old Hickory.
I didn't know his name was the King of the Mobs.
Well, I always liked Andrew Jackson because he's been referred to as the American Napoleon, and he was absolutely ruthless. There's the story of him fighting the Indians at one point where they corner this Indian fort, and if you want classic American colonials versus Indian wars, they had to cut the tips off the noses of all the Indians to tally up their casualties. That's the kind of shit that was like commonplace. And let's also not forget when Andrew Jackson was a teenager, he killed a man in a duel. And these days, nobody killing a guy as a teenager bounces back from that to be president. At least not yet. I could be proven wrong.
No, you're right.
You're a Kane, maybe one day.
No, never.
You're a Kane 2020, baby. You never know in this crazy town. I heard somebody, Michael Moore endorses The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, for 2020.
I do too, actually.
Well, it's but here's the problem with that. As funny and like Rock's cool, I'm sure Dwayne Johnson's a chill guy running as a Republican. It's still the problem of someone you don't even know about. It's somebody being voted for on pure name recognition.
Well, it's been a popularity contest for how long now?
Ever.
Thank you. Thank you.
From local city council people getting elected all the way up, it is name recognition. That's why money gets spent on that trash that people put in their front yard. That it doesn't matter if it works or not. It's just you see the name over and over and over, and we're dumb shaved apes down here on planet Earth that you just put the name in front of us, and then we're in a voting booth. I'm like, I recognize that one. Yeah, he's got more signs than the other guy. He's got to be the better guy. He got the signs. I mean, who? It's a game it's of who printed more signs.
That was one.
He has the strategy.
That was one of the better Joe Rogan impressions I've ever heard, though. Inadvertently,
wasn't even trying.
That's exactly what he sounds like when he does an ape impression. It's hilarious.
But
anyway,
here we go. People already arrested out there Confederate Jesus. Monument protests. Who's next up on the list? We took down the Liberty one, which is pointless. That was easy peasy. Okay, should have taken it down when we moved it behind the parking garage after that whole David Duke nonsense.
Right, but wait. I didn't read any of the stories, but this was at Jeff Davis. Oh, here it is. Okay.
Oh, and we do have black protesters who are fighting to keep the monuments going.
I know. That lady is an enigma, but that's fine. So the one that they're really trying to not bring down is Jeff Davis.
Okay,
like that's the main deal.
I would say Robert E. Lee was the main deal. Robert E. Lee is the gem.
Right, but are they protecting Robert E. Lee like that? I just haven't been driving around.
Well, I think they're working their way. They did the easy one first, and now they're kind of like, I was thinking maybe Beauregard would go next. Because he would be the less.
They were all, this whole Jazz Fest weekend, they were all out there just wilding.
Oh, officers stopped one guy outside of the Jeff Davis Monument on suspicion of public intoxication.
Yeah, you can't be fucked up trying to protect the monument.
Yeah, no drinking and protesting. You got to do one or the other.
I sneak tip took a picture and tweeted at Noah Trash Talk. Did we retweet this picture?
I tried to, I think. Maybe.
I don't know. But there's
I never checked Nola Trash Talk Twitter. Everything you see on Twitter
Facebook.
And Facebook is posted through Facebook and Nola Trash Talk. I never got into the natural habit of doing Twitter.
And that's why this show is where it is, because Josh and I are not on the same social media platforms.
I like Facebook.
I know, and I like Twitter.
It's got the reach.
I know. It's just funny.
Yeah, I just don't know people that use Twitter. I know.
Neither do I.
Nobody mentions it ever.
Ever. No, I understand that. I just I enjoy it more. It's just like you can only say what you want to say. You can't say multiple paragraphs of like. That's why I like it. But
I am waiting for the day once we get past all the monument business and we've renamed everything and Lee Circle's Friendship Circle and we can finally have that headline.
Well, I went out.
Man raped and murdered at Friendship Circle.
Oh, wait.
I also want to make my other point that I messaged you over the weekend regarding this whole statue nonsense.
What, that you went to a bar called Sidebar?
Not that. Talking about the Mayor Mitch Landrieu angle of this whole thing. It was like removing.
Josh, if that is.
Hold on.
Sorry.
I want to get my point out here of how jaded I would be regarding this issue. I don't care one way or another about Confederate statues. No different than if I was living in Seattle or Minneapolis or San Diego or Philadelphia. Or now I'm in New Orleans. Oh, they're taking statues down. They'll probably put new statues up. They'll rename these things. Life will go on. Money has not been taken or added to my bank account because of this. Thus, I don't care, as I'm sure that's most people's attitudes towards this whole issue. But what I did think about is that Mayor Mitch Landrieu, who brainstormed this entire thing, who knows who advised him as we started this whole roller coaster when these people got killed in, South Carolina? I always forget. South or North Carolina. One of the Carolinas. We'll just call it Carolina, where the guy went into the church and killed
South Carolina.
Killed a bunch of people.
Dylan Cunty Roof.
And we somehow made that a Confederate monument thing here in the city. But Mayor Mitch Landrieu will leave office with this as his crown jewel achievement somehow. And I'm saying within 6 months of him out the door, he's got a book on the New York Times bestseller list called Tearing Down Hate. This is not happening. This is my theory. Tearing Down Hate, his political struggle of making this happen in the city, of getting past our historical sins and moving forward as a society. And then what does he do when you got a book on the bestsellers list there? You tour in those minority colleges all around the country giving speeches about how progressive the world is and how we are moving forward as a people. And I know that all sounds well and good, but my problem is my insane jealousy towards people who are able to get paid large sums of money for talking.
Oh, like our former president who talked
Oh, it just like anybody.
400K to talk about incoming
quality.
I'm just saying,
before you go to these events out there and you see Mayor Mitch give a speech and do his book tour, remember, this is me being just completely hypothetical. You're seeing a guy whose workday is waking up in a hotel that's paid for, getting in a car service that's paid for, drive to a private college that he gets let out. He gets a little green room with fruit and snacks, all paid for, gets walked out on the stage. He talks for 40 minutes, and then he gets a check for $50,000. And that was his workday. And you went, you woke up, you person out there that I've never met, you woke up at 6 in the morning, you went to work, you know, 12 hours. Maybe you unloaded trucks in August. And you made $65, and then you came back home. And I'm just saying, that's that incongruency. The fact that Mayor Mitch, who really had no right to like open the subject the way he did by taking the murder stories in South Carolina, and it became a statue story, and now he can surf a political career for the next few years on top of it.
And what I was gonna say,
that's
is,
all. That's just that's no, the part that irritates me.
And what I was gonna say is when we were. I was trying to talk, and you were trying to make a point.
No, but also on top of the money issue, I didn't want to cut you off, but what the hell do the Confederate statues have to do with the personal life of Mayor Mitch Landrieu?
Right.
So he took something that didn't affect him at all, and he cha-ching. So that's all.
Straight cash, homie.
That's it.
No, and when we were texting about this over the weekend, and I was gonna, and when I was interrupting you, and I'm sorry, what I was gonna say is. If this is an original thought by you, which I'm assuming is, was one of
wait,
the...
Wait, what?
You didn't hear... Did you hear it from somebody else?
The book thing?
Yeah.
No.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just...
Thanks, Steven.
Sorry. Wow. I didn't mean to cut you down, brother.
Wow.
It's the information age. A lot of things are unoriginal
thoughts.
I would
never, ever. Come on.
Okay. I assume that you would, you would always footnote, okay?
Right.
However, okay. So... That all right, let's just throw that out. Josh, that was the most accurate thought process I've ever heard in recent memory. I was baffled. Like when you text me that,
if I had sound effects on it, I'd have a little crowd cheering and I go, "Hey, yeah, thank you."
Exactly. I sat there, I was like, "This son of a bitch is spot on."
That's just
on.
Me. But no, somebody else could see that and be like, oh, this jaded piece of shit.
No, no, no.
He thinks that something's happening
on.
In the world
it
just because someone else
spot
is benefiting.
On. And I was baffled by it. I'm like, I can't wait to talk to you about this because I didn't even think anything of that. Never even
not
crossed my stupid little mind. Exactly. So, but it was genius. And that in my mind, that is exactly is what is going to happen because this guy right here, he's trying to, I'm the mayor who ripped up Bourbon Street. I am the mayor who took down the monuments. Listen to me now for $50,000.
Let's make it an analogy. You get in a car accident tomorrow. Okay. And you get like your, everything's messed up. It's damaged. Got some injuries. It costs you, let's say to come back from this $15,000. Okay? Now, I go out and write a book about how people bounce back from car and, you know, I take your thing, I make mm-hmm. it my story, oh, yeah. and I sell a book about it. This is the same thing. There's a guy going out there who has no context of if there was an element of suffering and offending the black population of New Orleans by still having Confederate monuments standing and be key landmarks, like... He's appropriated that for a political.
Yes,
he can turn that. I don't know what his aspirations are.
This is the definition of politicizing something.
I don't know what his aspirations are post mayor, but at the very least, what I thought is he could write a book about this nonsense. He could ghost write a book about this nonsense. He could sit in a room, talk about it, and some other guys in the corner just typing it out, just like right. how every celebrity writes their autobiographies, and then book tour.
Book tour,
the
baby.
Book tour, speaking tour is the more infuriating part of it because it creates this illusion of a guy doing something when all he's doing is traveling around in planes and cars that are paid for, speaking for an hour at the most, and then getting back in the car and flying home. And let's not forget that he had this piece of shit kid who left the boot drunk and hit like five cars down the road, and that just disappeared from the news.
That got right under the rug, swept right under the rug. Here we go.
I would be remiss if I didn't bring that up anytime I'm talking shit about Mayor Mitch.
I'm
not usually a guy that is just going to bag on the city's mayor for
very,
no reason.
Very well thought out theories that I think are going to come to fruition. I 1,000% think that they are.
If we wanted to be 100% honest with this, how about Mayor Mitch proposes this piece of action? Let's tear down the Confederate monuments by launching his son in a BMW at each one.
Hammered.
Boom. There we go. Now we're being honest. I got a drunk piece of shit son who hits public property, and I want to take the monuments down. I think that would be the most honest way to approach the situation.
You are so funny, my friend. I love you for that.
I'm just a piece of shit.
Nah, the darkness.
I'm a piece of shit, but I would not use Confederate monuments, or I would not use things like that for my own benefit. I wouldn't even be like, I don't think clever enough to like put together a plan to do that. I couldn't go up in front of people and give speeches knowing that this has nothing to do with me, but right. The check's clearing.
And the other thing is like, what are the monuments that were taken down? Let's talk about Beauregard though. Because he's the hometown boy, he's from the parish. Mm-hmm. He's a Shalmatian.
Okay.
Do you know anything about him?
Not really. No, I don't want to comment on things I don't know about. I don't want to be like the rest of the city.
You a little bit. So this guy went to West Point. Okay.
I mean, Steven, all we really could do right now is I could pause it and read Wikipedia.
For eight minutes.
Then we can restart this section of the conversation.
But we're not.
And I look way more well-versed in this.
He's a West Point graduate, and he's a Shalmatian. That will never happen ever again. Do you understand that?
Isn't Lee West Point as well?
But he ain't from the fucking parish.
Grant West Point. Does West Point even mean anything in the 21st
century? But he's not from the parish, my friend.
I got you. But I love how we're assuming the parish was the same.
It doesn't matter to me.
170 years ago.
It doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
You're from the St. Bernard.
Okay. All right.
So he rose up so high that he went to West Point and then, boom, became the first. He was the first. Lower general that we ever had, and then he became extremely famous after the Civil War. However, did you know that he started the Reform Party? And the Reform Party spoke in favor of civil rights. Baffling.
You lie.
I'm serious.
Does that say that on the monument?
No, it does not.
Is there a plaque explaining that?
Cunts do not know that.
That is a hilarious piece of trivia.
It is hilarious.
But the question, though, we already know that the thought process towards this whole thing.
He was the founder of it.
Yeah, but we're not considering alternative facts. Wasn't there a whole bunch of good shit about Robert E. Lee out there, too?
Oh, 1,000 things, but... But we also have Beauregard Parish in Louisiana. Do you know where Beauregard Parish is?
But here, this is the problem.
Are we renaming that?
Oh, that's a good point. Probably.
Oh, I'm sorry. What about the Beauregard Keys House in the Quarter? Are we renaming that?
I don't think that matters as much.
That's where he lived.
Well,
it's a monument. It's a historical fucking cunty fuck.
Do they mention on a giant plaque at Arlington Cemetery that this was Robert E. Lee's property?
I don't know.
Speaking of questionable monuments, there's a monument to a general at Gettysburg on the battlefield. And prior to, or might be post, I can't remember, it was before the Civil War or after it. This general is the guy who caught his wife cheating with another dude and murdered that guy, but got off, and it was the first case of pleading insanity. He pled that he was temporarily insane because his wife was cheating on him, and he was let go. They didn't find him guilty for murdering the dude. And it's the very same guy who has a giant monument to him on the on the battlefield of Gettysburg. But are we celebrating guys who murder other people? Well, I guess in the context, it'd be funny. In the context of a war where we're murdering each other indiscriminately, but this one guy murdered another dude later out of context of war.
More fun.
Well, we could argue that everybody engaged in a single battle is temporarily insane.
More fun facts about Beauregard.
Yeah, go on, sorry.
No, it's okay. He founded the Louisiana Lottery. Oh, get money.
Okay.
Get money. Yeah.
Is his family still a part of that?
No, the Louisiana legislature kicked it down, and they said gambling is terrible in like 1885. But then they re-upped it like 20 years later. But he started the Louisiana Lottery. Yeah. This is how this guy rose up. He rose up strong.
But we can go down the rabbit hole of, everything related to slavery, take down the pyramids.
That's why.
People call in the local radios all the time. You probably heard it yourselves out there in radio land when people are like, well, are we going to tear down the plantations or tear down these? This is all like to tear down. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of a city we can compare it to where we have removed every, like, what's Berlin like now? Do I need to get out to Berlin and see, like, have we completely erased everything pre-1950?
No.
It's just, how does that work?
Back to your point is that none of this does anything but promote one person's self-interest in post-mayorhood.
On top of, and then what is the reality that's actually affecting our lives and pocketbooks? Nonsense speed cameras. Those French Quarter cameras that aren't going to solve the bank robbery. No leads on that one, by the way. Happened a week ago in the French Quarter, bright and early last Monday. All those brand new $1 million cameras we talked about.
Right.
Where's the footage of that?
Wait. What happened?
You got to get on the news, kid.
I'm on the news, brother. I'm on the news. I was looking about. That's the one. Oh, this one. Shit. This is the one I missed. I was reading about the Julian Destrahan. Sorry.
Yeah. A week ago, Whitney Bank at 400 block of Charter Street was right there in the quarter, primo location. You know there's a camera right there.
Oh, right. Oh, wow.
But there's been no other follow-ups on this at all and no footage released, like identity. We got an image of the guy who robbed the place. You know,
wait. When did, okay, a French Quarter bank was robbed in the afternoon.
FBI officials could not immediately provide additional information.
Oh, my God.
And you'd think, with all the construction going on in the quarter, that getting around town would be kind of difficult. But you can clearly rob a bank and get away with it.
How the shit do you rob a bank in the quarter and get away with it?
Try. Monday morning. I guess everyone's kind of sleepy-eyed.
Did this person take the opening scene out of Batman 2? From the Joker?
He backed a whole bus in there.
Did he walk out with the buses?
I would hope.
Jesus Christ. That is brutal. That's the only one I missed.
Quick hit on some other news on the town, but if we end up like diving back into statue nonsense. They let Shelley Dufresne go, not guilty. Our Destraho is free to go.
How the hell, now how did she get off? I saw the headline and I saw that she was
Rational people in the courtroom thought, like, we can't hold this woman guilty for smashing with a couple of horny teenage boys, right?
Carnal knowledge. It's what they call it. They have this term when a jury goes against the laws of the land, and the judge like reprimands them for it. Oh. But it's called. Oh my God, I'm such an idiot.
Called opinions.
Right, but it's when the jury says that we don't think the laws are justified. So we go against the laws of the land. That's probably what happened here. Because that's the only way that she could have got off. Because otherwise, like, the statutory rape, it's a statute. You did this, you did this, it's a statute. That's it.
But there's still a trial, I guess.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's called jury. Oh, I'm such an idiot. I'm going back to, like, friggin' business law.
We'd also like to welcome back Dunbar's.
That was a huge one from the air hot.
Yes, we remember Dunbar's from back in the day on Ferret Street before they white personed Ferret.
There's a spot.
As well as they could have.
There is a spot where you could not walk by yourself if you were by your, like, you could not walk by yourself.
I went to Dunbar's pre-Katrina.
All day, every day. We used to go to after practice. But I would roll five deep.
I don't remember.
I roll five deep.
You don't go by yourself, of course. But I remember
fried chicken and red beans, playa.
It was pretty close to the bar that is now that Asian restaurant, Tux.
It was very close to
Tux. Very close to that. So not an completely out of the way place to go pre-Katrina for college kids.
That shit was hood though when we were there.
Oh, I know.
That whole area was.
Yeah, that I can't say that I remember their food being that amazing that its legacy lasted this long that it's reopening on Earhart up next to that flavored pizza crust topping place. It should be like widely celebrated. I mean, yeah, are they going to throw Dunbar's a James Beard Award too? Because they seem to give those out like candy.
Jesus, they do. Oh,
just the chef at Herb Saint.
She's a
Herb.
Fucking,
sorry,
she's a fucking Herb. How long has Herb Saint been around? That you know what? We'll just give you the JB Award. You know, screw it.
I know. It was just Willie Mays, and then it was Willie Mays and Hanson Snowball. And then it just boom, 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 boom. It's like, it's Oprah, and you get a James Beard Award.
And you get...
The city probably pushes for it so they can make more of its businesses seem like these historical landmarks where you get the most authentic New Orleans dining experience.
Sorry, just real quick throwback. It's called jury nullification.
Ah, you had to look it up.
Had to. It's when a jury disagrees with the laws because they feel like the laws don't apply in that situation. Sorry.
Hey, you know what else got nullified this weekend? Jazz Fest.
Oh, my God.
How about that weather? And who didn't show up?
Mr. 305.
Pitbull did not arrive. The guy who flew out to Alaska to play to a crowd of 200 people just to spite the people that were trolling him online could not brave a little bit of cloudy skies and lightning to come down to Jazz
Fest.
It's not like they have live instruments out on the stage with Pitbull.
You know, Mrs. McJeezy is a fan of Mr. 305.
Pretty much every girl I know is a fan of Mr. 305. He's holding it up for the bald guys. I got to give it that, you know.
She's over the top fan. But she came to a realization today, and she called me about it to tell me about it. And it made me laugh so hard because she rarely admits when she is like been had, but she admitted today.
What do you mean? She
basically said, he had to cancel because he was worried about his backup dancers and all the fucking shenanigans that go along with his, like, show. That, like, he couldn't do the show by himself because he's that poor of an artist.
Well, judging from what I saw at his last big public thing, he did WrestleMania, which apparently WrestleMania is a halftime show. I don't know when that happened.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, it's a lot of Pitbull doing his thing and then kind of like handing it off to someone else. And then he just kind of keeps moving. They kind of keep...
Well, remember where he played Endymion?
They're like living, breathing products.
He played Endymion 2 years ago.
Yeah, of a DJ thing where it's just kind of medleying like high points.
He's a good businessman, though. Do you remember we talked about this?
Yeah, I don't... The whole good businessman thing in that world, there's so many other people around those people. Pretty much being a good businessman is... They've selected the right people to trust their money with.
That's still smart, though.
That is smart, but they're not waking up and making phone calls and sitting in on meetings. I refuse to believe that.
He does not. That is correct. However, one of his people found a loophole that said he can't perform the same day as Endymion. So he said, okay, I'll perform in Lafayette at 10 p.m.
Right.
And I'll get to your cunty fucking thing in the Superdome at 12:01.
But somebody else figured
that
out.
Exactly.
And explained it to him, probably over the course of several hours. So wait, it's not the same day? Will it still be Mardi Gras?
It's very funny. But yeah,
it's the same thing when people criticize Trump. It's like, well, there's like 50 people behind him handling intel.
Right.
Like, they get off scot-free with, like, being ignorant of certain things and being wrong, and then there's, like, the guy they just shove out into the microphone, like, here, you take the brunt of it.
Oh,
Pitbull is the product of a larger machine behind him, as are many people that in his world. There's the guy in the front,
right.
And then there's the machine behind him.
Right.
That's how these people are manufactured in.
Men and women behind the curtain.
Who do you think books the... Sorry to pop the mic there. Who books the flights for those backup dancers? And all the little things. Like, well, I got to have a window seat. And you got 30 people asking for specific instructions. And there's got to be a specific type of food at the event being sold. And someone's got to be make sure they arrive on time and they go to the right place on time. And they check in the hotel on time. The handlers behind the... And then they just walk out. They don't even know what state they're in. Pitbull does his thing where he thrusts his hand up at the crowd with the Bud Light label out. Everybody cheers. It's like, well, he's a good businessman. He's a great entertainer. Yeah. Give him more money.
Well, Josh, you have
put him out there with a guitar and make him do a Limp Bizkit where he has to sing and play a Who song in front of 20,000 people
good
and
point.
Watch that guy embarrass himself.
You know, but
or when Lil Wayne tried to do a rock star thing too. Oof. Just put them out bare naked in front of the crowd. Let's see how talented you are.
You know, who could do that?
Some people can.
Fucking Bieber.
But there's those teams of people.
Gaga.
Bieber. No, he absolutely can.
Bieber and Gaga could do that.
Absolutely. But these other people are protected to where their flaws
pretenders.
And the things they can't do are kept well away.
Pitbull
makes a bad investment, and that energy drink is awful and doesn't sell. We don't hear about it.
No, we do not.
Then there's one guy in like a small town where it was tested in Utah. He's like, remember that Pitbull energy drink that no one bought? And we're like, what the fuck are you talking about, you psycho?
Oh.
Yeah, that's how that works.
2 weeks in a row, the profit makes me crack up.
Because I'm drinking a pitcher of black coffee, and it's 9 o'clock at night on a Monday. So I was drinking all weekend in New York, and I was just like getting overstimulated with tall buildings and fast-moving New York culture that I was like, I got to get on the microphone.
Right.
La, 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 la.
I'm happy that you hit me up today, because I was like, should I hit the profit up for a show, because like I'm dying.
I tell people about this all the time. We sit down and start recording sometimes like, well, what did you do this week? I don't know. What did you? Well, we'll just start talking.
Let it ride, baby.
And not to beat dead horses with the Confederate Monument discussion, but you know, it's easy when there's a black woman out there who traveled into the town to defend Jefferson
that
Davis.
Crazy. I mean, but that basically supports, like, she is someone who supports history. I don't have any respect for that because I'm not a historian, but like she respects history, and I think it's nice to take the she's what Josh an iconoclast. She's going against the grain, my friend.
Excellent word use.
Oh, I know. Thank you.
Yes, black woman drives in New Orleans to make sure Jefferson Davis lives to see another day.
Oh, this lady's crazy, but she basically. She basically keeps the entire white crowd from getting, like, shot up by a drive-by.
We got to shout out. Arlene Barnum. I got to say her name.
It's a very drive-byable place. Not that I would ever do that.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I mean, like, right on Canal Street, you know, just
she says, I felt I needed to be at the monument for Jefferson Davis because he was the one and only president for the Confederate States of America. He's the most significant of all the monuments to be taken down.
She's correct.
I would say Robert E. Lee carries more weight on an international, like on a national level. He's got more name recognition, as we spoke about. That's very important.
He has a lot of street cred.
Barnum says her race has nothing to do with her support of the Confederacy. I think this woman just might be one of those contrarians. Maybe she's a stand-up, and she's just trolling this whole thing.
That would be hilarious.
And she's doing a Shia and just running a camera and live-streaming it and just trying to get YouTube hits.
That needs to get kicked in the chin.
It's about being on the right side of history, she says. Asked what she hopes to achieve with a trip to the monument, Barnum says she'll stay out until the sun comes up to make sure Jefferson Davis lives to see another day.
And that's why I went out there today, Josh.
I know you did. You went out to do some
shit.
Press.
I am so pissed. I went out to the monuments after work today. All I wanted to do was get like a 3-minute pot, like at most, just like
sound bites.
Yeah, like how do you guys do bathroom breaks?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Explain to me why this is important to you. Okay, I'm a white guy with. I probably look. Oh shit! You know what? They probably thought I was a hipster who was goofing on them. I came out there with the peace sign. I was like, "Hey, white brethren and black
ladies." You at least run the microphone so you can get cussed out, right?
I didn't run anything because I didn't want. I know I don't want to get sued because if you don't, it's like if you don't tell someone that you're recording them, and then you.
Just have a white sign that says, I'm recording, tell me how you feel.
Okay, all these things, like...
I know.
I just came to me at like 4 o'clock today. I was like, I should just go down the street and just see if I can just get somebody to talk to me for just a couple minutes for the show.
Right.
And no one would talk to me, and I was informed by my counsel because I did consult.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That I should announce that I have to say I'm recording now, and I have
right, of course.
And I wanted to do it the right way. So if no one wanted to talk to me because for whatever reason. It just sucked. I was like, I went to the first person and like, no comment. And I went to the next person and I'm like, I was like, will anyone talk to me? And all of them shunned me.
Oh, that's brutal. You think everybody would be like,
you know how much
on edge enough to like they want to talk to someone?
Do you know how my white privilege went down the drain? I was like,
thinking, isn't that that's a white privilege in 2017 getting harassed at a protest?
Well, I mean
everything being protested in 2017 is in some spiritual sense against white people at a certain
right,
level.
Right, but I thought that like we would have like at least they would say like, look at this white. But I look like a hipster, I guess. I don't know. With the glasses.
Then you should fit right in.
Protesting
is very hip.
Right, but these people, these are all like country fucking crazy people. That are waving the flag, and I ain't waving that flag.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not waving that fucking flag. Fuck no.
Yeah, you got to appear at least that you're on their side.
Right,
it's called guerrilla journalism.
Right.
No, it's gotcha journalism.
I went out there in a goddamn suit after. I could have
dug up a Pantera shirt for you, and you could have.
It was the worst. I went out in my suit after work thinking like, oh, they'll talk to me. Shunned.
Well, they haven't announced an official date for them taking down the rest of these.
They won't.
And they won't.
That's what I wanted to talk to them about is like, what are y'all doing in the middle of the night? Because they might creep in the middle of the night. That's what I wanted to ask them about.
And they came in like a wrecking ball.
And you know what? I'm not, sorry. I'm not, like, I'm not, like, standing down. Like, I'm going back.
Okay.
I'm going back.
All right. Don't get yourself killed there.
But
don't want to get struck by lightning.
I might need you to come with me.
Oh, dude, I can't get into it with those people, man. They look at me with. I don't have the white privilege. Like,
do you look like the. You look
hovering
like,
around me like you have the glow of it.
You look like you're part of the AB.
I'll wear a sleeveless death metal shirt. Maybe I can blend
in. You look like you're part of the AB.
Great. Oh, what's the AB? What is it?
It rhymes with Schmary and Schmothersmud.
Oh, I got you. Schmary and. Oh. Yeah, if they find out how German my last name is, they'd really like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? I'm like, we're publicly organizing, aren't we? I just felt a natural magnetism to this area. Can we put our.
Oh, my God.
I saw pictures online of all of us putting our fists in the air at the same time, and I just had to be a part of it. Come on, guys.
And you can tell them that I'm a good fella.
And we were like, this, like, all of them just get really uncomfortable, probably.
Oh, my God.
Well, Mitch Landrieu has said that when they removed the Liberty Place monument, that it was a blatant affront to American values. Now, who.
Again.
Once again, our perspective on these things, someone has to choose these American values and have to say, this is what we stand for, this is what we don't stand for, this is what's good, this is what's evil. And all of that's within the context of whatever age we're living in. As I said before, if I take the most extreme analogy of it, if you see someone kicking a puppy, you'd be like, oh, my God, how could that guy kick a puppy? But then, again, you could live in a part of the world where you grow up and everyone just kicks puppies all day long. And maybe you're in the Midwest and you fight dogs. And it just that's just business as usual. You don't have that gut reaction to, like, I'm outraged. Someone should stop this. So the problem is when you believe in something and a cause and you want to get really passionate about it, that there should be another part of your brain that says, like, well, everything is within the context of my personal experiences and the era in which I live. How angry can I really get?
You can't.
How much does this matter to the immediate environment I live in?
I couldn't agree. Like, sometimes we disagree, but, like, it's rare. But then there's other times that we agree, and I'm like, I couldn't agree more.
Oh.
That's, like, it's weird. That's, like, we should have, like, this should be, like, Hannity and Combs, but it's not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's completely like, oh, preaching in a choir.
I don't want to.
I know.
I mean, I also don't want to infuriate people just for the sake of, like, saying something just so they get mad and someone can post angry comments on the Nola Trash Talk Facebook page. But that's, yeah, see, we're not here to make you mad. This is just an old trash talk. We're just venting.
There was an NFL draft this weekend.
I know, but guess what? This isn't a sports show, and we're wrapping up 144 of NOLA Trash Talk. Steven, we're not doing the NFL draft.
Lady.
We're not doing it.
I know.
I was the Prophet Joshua.
I'm Steve McJeezy.
And we'll see you after the next weekend at Jazz Fest. Laters.
While you see it your way, there's a chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can wait.